Hello, and welcome to this May 2018 edition of the Crossbox Podcast.
We're calling it April.
We are? Okay. Well, April, May, whatever.
Springtime.
Yes, springtime edition of the Crossbox Podcast. I'm your host, John, with my co-host,
Jay.
And we're going to have a wonderful special edition for you tonight. This is brought to you by our love of video games like Uncharted, movies like Indiana Jones and Tomb Raider, and just treasure hunting in general.
That is the case, yes.
And, you know, I think we found that as, you know, gun guys and gamers and the like, we're always saying, why do we always have this crappy stuff? Why are we such losers? Why do we have to, like, kill those guys and take their cool stuff? What if we could just bring the cool stuff to start?
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be awesome.
Before we get into it, let's talk our little positivity topic real quick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is a very important positivity topic because it's literally fueling this podcast.
Yes. Well, it is beer. And I guess in general, what we're thankful for is the relaxation of laws allowing home brewing in the U.S. And more specifically, what we're thankful for is the Disapproving Wife Brewing Company, which is call, you know, my home brewing ventures.
Yep.
Got a lovely Irish red tonight, an Irish red.
Yeah, it's great. I love Irish redheads.
Of course, John goes that way. Anyway.
It's a great beer to fuel our great discussion.
Well, our discussion at least.
It's a great discussion.
All right.
So basically the premise is that we are going on some godforsaken adventure in search of treasure and riches, fortune and glory, all those great things. And we need to get some stuff together for our expedition into parts unknown. Before we start, we're going to be kind of doing like a generic adventuring climate. So basically what we said was we're not doing the desert and we're not doing the Arctic, which I guess is just another desert, right?
Yeah, we get right down to it.
So, yeah.
The thing is, both of those are difficult climates because they impose additional constraints on what you can or rather have to bring if you intend to leave.
Right.
And we didn't want to get ourselves, we didn't want to get too out of hand with this.
Right. Well, and also that's a lot of discussion of things like how much water per man per day and what kind of parka do you want, and you would all fall asleep.
Right. More so than usual, at least.
Exactly.
Yeah. I suppose I should point out before we get too much further in that what we call when we do these special editions, I think the usual scenario is we've run out of things to talk about temporarily in our usual.
Yeah.
The Stalingrad one, or not the Barbarossa one. That was just cool, and we thought it'd be fun to do something old-timey and historical.
But... Right. Yeah, and those radio announcer voices.
Yes.
Well, actually, this time we've had this idea for a while, and we have some other ideas, but this one is better.
Yeah.
Let's get it on.
All right.
So, where are we going?
Well, for me, I've decided it's going to be the Belgian Congo. I suppose it's just the Congo now, but really the Belgian one, because that's fun.
Isn't that Zaire, and then it was Democratic, whatever, the Congo.
Yeah. Well, you know, the giant river, impenetrable jungle, the...
Heart of darkness.
Yeah, hostile people on all sides. Not necessarily because they're, you know, not like in the hostile native kind of way necessarily, just in the fact that they're all trying to kill you for various political reasons.
You're probably trying to muscle in on their conflict diamonds or something.
Yeah, most likely. Anyway, that's me.
Okay, cool. I'm going to be... I was originally going to steal, like, shamelessly rip off Uncharted 4 and look for the pirate ventures of Libertalia, but that would probably involve a lot of scuba diving, which was another boring equipment set that I really didn't want to get into.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go with kind of a nice generic South American expedition in search of treasure the Spanish missed.
That doesn't seem very likely. They're big on the always getting everything, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they are, but there's a lot of, like, jungle that's overgrown, you know, lost villages. It's being discovered by loggers, and we need to beat those loggers to the fortune under those villages.
All right.
And if that doesn't work, we can go looking for Libertalia anyway, and we'll figure out the scuba thing later.
I buy that. So, yeah, conflict diamonds, Spanish treasure.
Right.
Or, I suppose, Aztec treasure that, you know, should have been Spanish.
Well, you know, I'm not really too picky who, you know, it ends up being...
from.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as it's made of gold.
Right, or gems. I'm happy with gems, too.
Well, probably going to be gems inlaid into gold.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah. You know. That's the usual
sort
of things. So, as part of this discussion, what we're going to do is lay out you know, what we need to get there, what we're going to bring, how we're going to get around, all those things that you, all those things that you wish you could have done when, I don't know, say Nathan Drake was preparing for a, for a trip to wherever.
He gets the Makarov.
It's like, oh, you brought a Makarov?
Exactly. Ugh, why?
Yeah.
So, let's start with how we're going to get there.
Yeah, well, I suppose the most obvious way is a plane. But at the same time, that imposes some pretty serious constraints on how much you can bring.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I'm kind of, I think I'm kind of in the armed trawler sort of mindset almost.
Okay.
You can fit a lot in there. You've got some cranes built in.
Right.
And it is the Congo I'm going to, which is notably an extremely large and extremely deep river. So,
yep.
unlike a lot of riverine sorts of destinations, your trawler can actually get, you know, a lot of the way up, you know, upriver and serve as a little kind of convenient base of operations.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. And also, armed trawlers are pretty cheap.
Yes.
Good choice.
Yep. What's a surplus Bofors gun go for? Maybe a 5-inch 38. That'd be fun.
Yeah, 5-inch 38 surplus. But the Bofors might be plausible. Or an Orlikon. I mean, you know, you're not really expecting a lot of, like, air
threats. I could buy the 5-inch 38 from the Philippines. They still have some in service over there.
Ha! There you go. Perfect. Just have to get, like, the, you know, the ash or whatever volcanic crud off of it.
Yeah.
As for the Amazon, I think that a similar trawler is probably going to be go up the river in that, some kind of a shallow draft thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably going to want some other stuff to let you look beyond the river into the dense jungle or, you know, where the loggers haven't gotten to yet. But I think the boat is the right initial thing. In the Amazon, you might be able to make do with a plane, but then you're kind of stuck with the either needing a really big plane or, well, now how do you get around? Because you have to, you know, you land in the clearing where the loggers have made turn the trees into, you know, IKEA. And then you have to go into the big jungle over there, the pre-IKEA stuff. And that's just a pain. You really want, you know,
right, yeah, some kind
wheels.
Of, yeah.
And then you have to get a much bigger plane. And so, no, you start with the boat.
I don't know. Can you make a Hercules float?
I have to get back to you on that one.
Because that'd be a pretty great way to get around.
Right, a seaplane.
What's this? This is my C-130 seaplane.
The C-130?
Yep.
Yeah, there we go.
Perfect.
Yeah, that was terrible. All right, so we're looking at boats to get there. And when we're actually where we want to go, I feel like the answer for getting around has to start and end with Toyota Hilux. Probably old.
Yeah.
If Top Gear taught me anything, it's the Toyota Hilux is Hilux and whatever. Toyota Hilux is a nearly indestructible pickup truck.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure how prevalent parts are going to be every nowadays, just because it's, you know, I don't know how common the pickup truck is as a vehicle of everyday transportation outside the U.S. I'm not sure what I'd say in opposition, like what substitute I'd pick as vehicles go.
Well, you know, to kind of back this up, I mean, Top Gear seemed to have no trouble finding an endless supply of them. And in at least other parts of Africa, what is the base vehicle for ye standard technical when you want to go land pirating? Toyota Hilux. You just add a DSHK and, you know, some angry people with Kalashnikovs and you're all set. You have a technical.
Yeah. I don't know. See, I kind of lean almost towards something a little bit more enclosed, if only because if I'm going ashore in the Congo in search of conflict diamonds, and I come across people who aren't trying to kill me outright, what they're probably trying to do is take my stuff. And if it's all in the bed of an open pickup truck, that's quite easy.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
You could just mount a machine gun back there.
I could, but then I'd have to stay up and, you know, use it all night. And I don't know how many porters I'm going to be bringing.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. You and your porters.
My Batman.
Yes, your Batman. God. As long as they make tea.
Hopefully. I mean,
yeah.
What does one have a Batman for?
Saving Gotham?
Yeah. I suppose we should clarify to the the poorly informed listeners that a Batman is simply a fashionable 18th or fashionable 19th century British word for soldier, I believe, derived from some Indian language.
Yeah, it's, you know, your assistant.
Servant, yeah.
Yeah, orderly dude.
The guy what follows you around and loads your tiger rifle.
Field butler.
Yes. I like that a lot more, actually.
Yeah, I do too. That's a good word. Field butler.
How many field butlers can I bring in this plane?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, if it's our C-130, quite a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, I think maybe like a Ranger from before they were crap.
What? There was a time they were crap?
There was a time when they were like the traditional vehicle of African explorers.
Okay, but are you sure that's because they were good, or is that because, you know, they didn't know what Toyota was yet?
I suppose that's possible, but at the same time, I mean, can thousands of British explorers really be wrong?
Yes.
Yeah,
how about a Toyota Land Cruiser?
Something like that, then, yeah.
Because that gets us,
I want a roof over the back, darn it. That's my, okay. my criteria. Cool. So
Those are findable.
You can go with a Land Cruiser.
It might be a little harder than the Hilux, but yeah, and you know, I think I see your point. The other thing to bring up for both of us is that rain is a thing, and having a roof over the back is good for one, sleep, and two, not having our stuff become massively waterlogged.
Yes, and then stolen.
Right. Well, I don't know if it'd be stolen. It might just be super soggy.
Yeah.
But
well, I don't know. Lame. Those loggers always looking for a quick buck or something.
Yeah, great. Here, waterlogged MREs, and you know, then they'll float away. Great. Yeah.
The Amazon floods an awful lot, right?
Right. The crocodile stole our food. Oh no.
Yeah. So I guess that's wheeled transportation for now.
Yeah. Yeah. In the jungle, I mean, I think I'd have to do some recon first with, like, I don't know, Google Earth or a quadcopter drone thing, but an ATV might also be helpful depending on boat space and how tight things get. So I'm going to pencil that in as a, you know, a maybe need this.
Now, and for me, being in the Congo, mm-hmm. something I might like to have is a helicopter.
Yeah.
And in Africa, there's really only one way to go for helicopters, and that is French. So either like a late model Alouette or perhaps a Gazelle.
Right.
Well, the Gazelle is going to be harder to find. The Alouettes have been around forever.
Yeah, yeah. Go with the Alouette, dude. Yeah. It's like, see, and I've thought about that for the jungle. It's just that with the Amazon, I don't know how much, like, it's good for overlooking, but getting down there, I think, might be difficult. So I think I'm going to stick with the quadcopter. If I did go helicopter in South America, surplus American Huey.
Yeah. Another one you can probably find just about everywhere.
Yeah, that's, you know, again, really, these are just opposite sides of the same coin of commonly exported crappy helicopter, the, you know, old Huey, the Alouette, especially in France and Africa, which a lot of parts of which bought from France.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting to note, too, that, I mean, I suppose we're sometimes hard on the French, but one of the areas in which we are not hard on the French is that, well, we understand that they are... They've retained their traditional excellence in, like, bombing former colonies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Probably second only to the Americans there, I would say.
Yeah.
Maybe with the Russians out there, they didn't really have much in the way of overseas possessions, though.
Right.
If you want something in Africa blown up, you basically call the French.
Yep. That you do.
Until they run out of, you know, bombs and gas and need Americans to...
Right. Or the reconnaissance J-Star stuff, they don't have that for some dumb reason.
Yeah. But yeah, well, actually, you usually don't need it bombing, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Somewhere that's still traditional, like Tripolitan terrorists or whatever.
Yeah. You just hit them. Yeah. It's just if you want something a little more complicated, it gets hard.
Yeah. Well, if you're trying to blow up like all of Libya, then you need.
Yeah. That's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem. All right. So we've got some ways to get around. What sorts of stuff are you carrying on here? But let's go right to weapons. We know everyone listening, all four of them are waiting for the weapons. So, weapons, dude, what you rolling with?
Well, I think it's important to go with what's commonly available, at least as a backup. Okay. So, I'm going to start with something in 9mm because 9mm is literally everywhere.
Yep.
And
let's be precise, though. We're talking 9 Parabellum, right?
Yes, yes.
Like not Makarov or some crap like that.
Right. Well, this is formerly French, and... Like all NATO countries, they're like 9mm Parabellum. Ooh, NATO. Yeah. Belgian, French. Parts of those are the same thing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, I think for my...
All right, come on, though. You can't just say something in 9mm. That's literally every handgun we're talking about that isn't a 1911.
I'll take a nice kitted out M9 because
That's like, one of the, like an A something or just like a bland M9 A0.
Go with like the even the A3.
There you go.
They're all nicely proven 9mm handguns, right? Yeah, that's what true. You're looking for.
Yep. No, and I would have tried to nudge it towards the A3 because it's got the sights you can change out if you want, and it's got the nicer grips, and I think that basically. I think there's some other improvements internally, but I forget what they are.
Yeah, and I'd be doing a lot of that myself anyway because it's again a pistol. That's not as critical to be able to fix on the road, I think, because it's a backup in the first place.
Right, to your long arm.
Yeah. Wait, well, and I think I've got two in mind here.
All right.
I'd probably want to bring something in 7.62x39.
Okay.
Probably one of the recent AKs with a nice side mount optic.
Okay.
Perhaps some kind of red dot because I'm going to be in the jungle. And if I'm not, then I can use the Bofors gun on the trawler.
Right.
And I think I may have to go with, as my backup rifle, that wonderful piece from Fabrique Nationale, the FAL, the Fall.
Really?
Well, because it's going to be literally everywhere in Africa, though, because it was the Belgian Congo, and I'm sure the French had their fingers in there for a while, and it was the most common arm at the time when the colonial system was collapsing. So it was everywhere in everyone's hands because everyone was fighting everyone else with them.
Okay.
And when they all died, you know, the extra stocks are kind of just waiting around for waiting for me to put parts into my broken one with a file and so on.
Okay.
So I think that's what I'd bring as my second, just because I think it's important to have firearms that use the most common common piece of ammunition in the area.
Common caliber.
Well, yeah, and 7.62 NATO. That's kind of like the rifle of colonial Africa.
Sure, but that was how many years ago?
Yeah, this is... We're not talking about a place where there's been, like, a lot of recent influx of major foreign powers bringing their arms.
There's been this great thing called money.
Well, yeah,
people buying stuff.
Because the Congo definitely can afford to bring in a bunch of modern guns.
Yeah, sure. Well, not even all that modern, you know. AK-74s aren't modern. M-16s are not. This is not, you know, the latest and greatest wonder gun.
I mean, it depends on where you are, yes. Well, if you were the finance minister in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, John, would you spend your country's money on A, buying a bunch of guns to replace your perfectly serviceable files, or would you instead spend it on a giant mansion for yourself?
No, I would pick C, embezzle the money so I can flee someplace less shitty and live there.
And you know what that's not spending on, John? You're not spending it on buying new guns.
That's fair. Well, I guess that's fair, but... I agree with the basic principle here. I disagree with the choice. I think the FAL is ridiculous. I think the AK is solid.
Oh, yeah. And that, I mean, you can fix the modern ones with the old parts, too. They haven't changed that much, so.
And I'm actually...
Is the polymer furniture.
Right. And the optics mount.
Yeah.
And I'm actually honestly not all that worried about parts breakage, frankly. If you buy quality, I really don't see it as a problem unless you do something monumentally stupid with it. And if it comes to that, then I'm going to be using some, you know, idiot's pickup gun anyway.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair.
So let's see. So for me, it is some kind of M4 AR-15 clone, tricked out the way I like it, of course. Low power variable optic, probably that Vortex thing. Just rock and roll classic, because with all the American deployments, 5.56 is pretty easy to find because you're America's friend, or American troops were there, or French troops have been there recently, or the UN has been there recently, or you're working with Americans. It's no problem, right? Like, you know, you can always just make it in South America. Everybody has this stuff, right? I mean, Brazil, they've got tons of 5.56 that they like make, and they make kind of crappy weapons. Stupid Taurus, but you know, the ammo, whatever. So we're going with that and plenty of P-Mags because that's how we roll. America.
Oh, yeah. You want to have a ton of magazines, whatever you're carrying.
Of course, right? You know, and P-Mags are great. So we're just going to, and they're cheap and they work. Yeah.
Especially because you can't necessarily count on there being a supply column, you know, three kilometers behind you waiting to bring up more ammunition for you to.
Right. And I mean, I have a boat, so that's going to be loaded with ammo. But if I need more ammo, I can, you know, this is something I can get. 5.56, no problem. For pistols, I'm going, well, a little, not all that different. So one, we're going to have like a regular sidearm, which is going to be a Glock 17 with a weapon light and a dot sight. And that's because the Glock 17 is super reliable and you can fix it with basically toaster parts. Not that it's going to break, but you could. And it's also super simple to clean because there's like four parts in it. You just open it, rub it through the river, cycle it, you know, you're good to go.
Yeah.
So really that's what I'd go with there. Lights, because I like them. Probably put some kind of light on the rifle. And then I also want to have a backup gun, which is going to be a Glock 26. And that's mostly because I'm sick and tired of everybody taking your stupid gun in these stupid games. What if I had a second gun? What a concept.
That's a good point.
Also, the other great thing about a backup gun is if you meet somebody cool who needs a gun, you can give them one and then not be there at the end going, God, if only I had my gun.
Yeah.
No, because I gave them my backup, so I still have my other gun.
Ha-ha.
Yes. Right? So it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So yeah, so we're going with that. Similar philosophy with knives, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think a good, like, utility kind of do-everything knife is an important thing to have. But I'm also a big fan of the little specialized get-off-me knife. And that often comes from, again, classic scenario. You've got, like, some big 6'8", roid rage McWrestler face trying to...
400-pound ex-Spetsnaz
right,
muscle
yeah.
man.
Yeah, and he's got, like, all of the Soviet Olympic team steroids in him and, you know, is trying to, you know, crush your skull flat. Now, getting out from under there is pretty hard, but you know what makes it a lot easier? If you rip his guts out with a knife. So have a knife for that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can also, you know, throat. You see, knives are important because someone might need stabbing the throat or there might be cake. You need a knife for the cake.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, the jungle, of course, means you might want machetes for your field butler and all those other good things.
No, of course, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of like the key setup was, you know, have something like, you know, like a K-bar, maybe something like that, but like a nice fixed blade, you know, single edge, you know, for a lot of utility tasks because there's a lot of chopping.
Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of the job.
Right. You know, there's always something that needs cutting and, you know, food, trees, whatever. And then have like another little fixed blade that is designed to get people to stop trying to crush you and remember that they had some other more important appointment like drinking vodka and putting their guts back in their chest cavity.
Yes.
It's important.
Yeah.
Don't miss that appointment, guys.
Well, is that still your chest cavity or is that just like your... torso, then.
You know, it doesn't matter anymore. You can argue with the doctor while he's sewing you back up if you live that long.
No, doctor, I swear, it's torso, not chest cavity.
Yep.
Chest cavity starts at the bottom of rib cage, duh.
Right, exactly. You know, and the doctor will be like, you know, some guy who is either, you know, whatever, and is not going to understand that thick Russian accent. Perfect, right? He'll just be shaking his head and going, why did I come to work today?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
And that's the story of the adventurer's opponent, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, so we're, you know, we're thinking ahead a little bit about what if they try to get the drop on us? And here's an idea. Let's get the drop on them instead. What a concept.
Yeah.
You bring in anything, you know, of a protective nature?
I probably will, but I think what I'm going to do is...
A pith helmet?
Well, as in the same... Well, in addition to a pith helmet, yes, some other stuff. But... In the same way that I kind of left the knives recently you're going to talk about, I'm going to leave the armor recently you talk about too. And more or less just say, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, exactly, right? But yeah, no, I'm going with a plate carrier and ceramic rifle plates. And why rifle plates? Because people are probably going to be shooting at me with rifles.
Yep.
And ceramics because most of my time will be spent not getting shot at. So I kind of want to reduce the weight. By a lot, and it's just the correct choice is a plate carrier with plates.
What about those honeycombed plates we saw?
You know, I might. They're kind of heavy though.
Are they?
Yeah, they're like 6.9 pounds piece, which is a bit on the heavy side for ceramics. That's like getting in the range of steel.
I guess the nice thing about plates in general is that. Well, play it to end the adventure lastly. You can buy some spares, and then after you finish a firefight, you can just pop back to the jeep and then put a new one in.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
or, excuse me, the Hilux.
Boom. Yep. So yeah, so I think plates are a good get, because again, shot at. You know, gee, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, you didn't have to worry about that sucking chest wound because you wore your armor today. you know, but I mean, there's arguments against armor, mostly that it's heavy and miserable. And did I mention heavy and miserable? It's actually something else about those honeycomb plates.
Well, you know something that's it's a lot more miserable than being and carrying something heavy?
Yeah, is it getting shot?
I was going to say being dead, but yes.
Well, yeah. I'd rather not bleed out this week. You know, I've got a lot of people left to prove wrong, and you know, those redheads in the Irish bar are waiting for me.
Exactly.
So yeah, so plate carrier with plates. In terms of the plates, the honeycomb plates are cool. So I've got two reservations about them. I mean, they both basically boil down to it's a Gen 1 product, and I get a little distrustful about Gen 1 products. But they are kind of on the heavy side compared to other ceramic plates, and they're only single curve in terms of like the structure, which is really old school and less than ideal. And normally I would say hell no, but they're quite a bit more durable. Still though, there's some other options out there too that are worth considering.
Yeah, I think the capability to take multiple hits, whether that be by having more than just the one set of plates or by something that can take more than a couple of hits, is ideal.
Yeah, well, and as always, it depends on how spaced the hits are.
Yeah,
you know. So that's something we can do is plates, and then a plate carrier is nothing too fancy, but just like a nice, simple plate carrier you can put stuff on and take it off. There's a cool one from Arbor Arms? We'll put a link somewhere. But they have a nice plate carrier that actually has a nice, the cummerbund setup is pretty cool and easy to get in and out of without a lot of lifting the front to where you've put all your mags and stuff, and then you have to lift it to get the darn thing on and off. I always thought that was dumb. So get yourself a good plate carrier, some plates. You know, really, we're going to blackwater this up. Oh, man, that means you need Oakleys and a G-Shock watch. Cargo khakis.
Yeah, the classic.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I mean, the cargo khaki is a very useful pant, especially for adventuring.
Well, the cargo khaki is just the pant to have.
Yep. Some sort of a tactical shirt, or probably just, you know, something that's sweat wicking, given where we're going.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. It's going to be hot, you know, some kind of... I don't know. I would say Under Armour, but they're kind of jerks. So
yeah.
Under Armour ripoff product. How about that?
From a better company.
Yes.
The I think the boots are also worth mentioning a little bit.
You want something sturdy.
Something sturdy. Probably waterproof, given where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if that's going to be, you know, miserable for your feet. You know, they make powders and fancy socks for that sort of thing.
Bring some frickin' foot powder. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
And spare socks. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned the socks. Spare socks. Especially like in a little bag.
So they don't get wet.
Yeah, so that you can have this moment of fresh socks. Yeah.
Oh, crap, I fell into the river.
Well, at least I have fresh socks.
Now that I've fought off the piranhas slash Congolese conflict diamond miners.
Right, yeah. And like their angry their mysteriously angry child soldier overlords, you know, I can at least put fresh socks on and I have that going for me, which is nice.
Yeah, that's a big plus.
Yep. Yeah, piranhas are a problem. Crocodiles are a problem. That covers it.
Yeah.
A lot of the wildlife is trying to kill you.
So I guess now what we're up to is supporting equipment. So
right, yep.
How we want to eat, how we want to sleep if we're sleeping away from the truck for some reason.
Right. So let's see.
How we're going to carry all of our crap.
There's this new thing called a backpack. And then we give it to our field butler.
All right.
Winning.
It's important to mention at least a little bit about the kind of backpack that we or our field butler or butlers are going to be wearing.
Exactly.
I'm doing this in classic British style, which is to say, you know, we get somewhere and my field butlers erect a small city's worth of tents. And then, you know, I go to sleep in my tent mansion while they hire locals to patrol the perimeter.
Don't forget your foot bath and all that stuff.
A freshly pressed copy of the Times.
Yeah. 3-week-old freshly pressed copy of the Times. It's just the same one. They keep pressing it again.
Heavens, really. Did you see the Rovers lost today?
Yeah.
That was 3 weeks ago, sir. 3 weeks ago, yes, of course. I say, could you freshen my foot bath?
Yeah. Hot or cold, sir?
I think lukewarm, I'd prefer.
Pours both in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So basically, this is, I suppose, a little bit more my
area. The backpack than, is, you should John's, talk about yeah. backpack, because you just built one. I would just go somewhere and buy something
that looked good. That's ordinarily a pretty good column. It's probably a good column most of the time here. You know, yield standard REI brand hiking backpack is going to be sufficient for, you know, 90% of your use cases. What the various military backpacks buy you, either a modified Alice pack like I reviewed and mm-hmm. well built and reviewed, in which we'll link. I'll take note of that in a second. Or say even the Molly pack altogether.
Yeah.
Both of those are good because they are made to ride above a pistol belt, and because of that, to get the same volume, they're kind of wider and deeper. A little bit less tall, but they can fit objects with a larger footprint without getting in the way of other stuff. And that's handy if, you know, you're trying to haul away some, I don't know, large-ish idol.
Right. Yeah, very important.
Yeah. So yeah, but you want something with a frame, of course, and with good straps and a kidney pad that'll, or a hip pad that'll support the most of the way to the pack. You know, yield standard hiking stuff.
Yep.
Just because you don't want to be carrying a crappy backpack. Well, you're going to be hoofing it with a crappy backpack through the Amazon/Congolese rainforest.
Right. And,
yeah.
Also, good point about the pistol belt, because we will have pistols and stuff on our belts. It's a natural place to carry stuff, and you want to make sure your backpack won't get in the way of that.
Now, I believe, actually, the Molly pack, you can hang stuff off of the front of that, too.
Right.
So you can, in addition to your belt, you have a little bit of load carrying capacity on the pack straps too.
Right. It's also nice to lash things to the outside of.
So that as much as actually in the classic webbing systems, those were much more into kind of having a pack that just fit over your standard suspenders with crap hanging off of them.
Right.
Which is, I think that's kind of a useful paradigm, although not necessarily one that I'd choose because it kind of requires you to plan everything ahead of time.
I think that's a problem. Yeah, you also get issues with like large suspenders and then, you know, your armor, right?
Yeah, I guess that's
popular
true.
These days.
Yeah. Well, you have Molly things to hang. You've got Molly straps that hang stuff on your plate carrier if you bought a good plate carrier. So.
Or if you, yeah, basically if you brought
any
plate carrier.
Well, I was just going to use rope and hang it on myself.
Just duct tape the plates to your chest, right? We'll get Gecko 45 about this. oh, man. All right.
I say, Willoughby, that was terrible.
Yep. Yeah, Jay, I think I could totally see you, like, duct taping plates to yourself to save the $150 of a plate carrier.
Yeah. Well, just buying a cheaper plate carrier.
Yeah, they tend to fall apart, but that's okay. You can just buy more, right?
Yeah.
Just have like disposable plate. Right, there you go. Just throw the whole plate carrier away with the plates rather than just the plate, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think the backpack is a good idea. I think the correct answer for food is MREs.
I think I'm with you on that.
Or, I mean, I'm not too picky. Somebody else's relatively recent surplus ration. But MREs are also pretty easy to find just about everywhere for the same reasons that 5.56 is able to be found just about everywhere. But also that MREs are a common disaster relief thing if America...
Much more so than 5.56, actually.
I mean, you could relieve disasters with 5.56.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, generally the choice there is MREs. So, and they're pretty good. We've got a bunch of articles. We've got a couple articles in the archive about those. They're kind of neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, whatever... Like a good ration, and the trick is really just making sure that you read the date tags before you buy.
Yeah, that's the key thing. You don't want to be stuck with expired rations.
Right, because a lot of those, you know, they have a great shelf life. If stored properly, who wants to bet that some random third world nation has stored their rations properly?
I think most of them probably stored them wrong, really, it's a fair
assumption. Or not at all, right? Yeah. Like you're probably buying from like some guy with a stall and a thick accent and almost no teeth. And he's probably just had these, like, outside for a while.
No, I sell 6 MREs. 6.
Exactly, right? And he's got, like, a tarp so that people don't take his MREs before he sells them, and that's it.
That's about, yeah.
Yeah.
So, climate control. What is climate control?
I have tarp. It's shaked.
It's cold. Except when the sun is on, then it's hot. But it's usually cold.
Yeah. At night. Or when it rains. See, I think MREs are there. I do want to bring up that something that is super important is water purification tablets. We're going to want to bring basically all of them.
Yeah. Well, I'd recommend also bringing a little like portable water filter.
Because
in a lot of the places, you'll want to use the tablet because that kind of gets it some of the biologicals too.
Right.
Whereas the filter is better for, I guess, the, you know, the large biologicals and the particulates. The filter is a lot slower and doesn't work in as many cases as the tablet, which if you buy the right ones work in just about every case, unless you can, like, maybe, I don't know, see the corpses upstream polluting the
thing. Yeah, maybe don't drink there.
Yeah. Or at least go upstream of the corpses.
Get upstream of the corpses before you drink.
But water purification is important. Probably bring more than one method, because that'll be safer.
I also kind of like both the canteen and the Camelback. And a lot of that is because the Camelback is pretty convenient, or Camelback clone, is pretty convenient to carry.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of clips to your vest or whatever, or your back or your backpack. Some backpacks even have a little pocket for one, which is pretty cool. And it's kind of hands-free. It is, however, a massive pain to refill from not a big water jug. Right? So, like, if you came to a stream, refilling your Camelback in a stream, and then adding a purification tablet is kind of a horrible pain.
Yeah. Well, you can use your canteen for that too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So canteens are kind of useful just for that carryable thing. It's also useful for the get me some water from the wounded, mysteriously helpful person you've met. Yeah. That's a pretty classic
water,
one, right?
Water.
Right. Yeah. And what are you going to do? You're going to take your damn vet. You're like, oh, let me go find my backpack and drag it over here. And
well, that, and you know, I don't know where your mouth's been.
Yeah. Yeah.
A canteen you can just share. That's nice.
Right. Exactly. You can clean that a lot more easily, or just, you know. Yeah. Hey, buddy, don't ruin this. Or get those little, like, straws they have.
Yeah.
You know, for the NBC things, and just throw that straw away. That guy might have all kinds of weird, I don't know, mouth cancer or something.
Yeah. Is that contagious? I didn't think so.
Well, better safe than sorry. You know, there could be zombies, Jay. You know what's in that jungle.
A soon-to-be zombie.
Right, exactly.
This conflict Diamond Story just took a really, really, Silent Hill kind of turn.
It's awesome. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't this is basically the plot of Resident Evil 5?
Yeah.
I think it is. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so water purification, I'm in agreement with you as well about a couple different methods.
So sleep systems.
Yeah.
I think you can get away with the surplus American one. That's a pretty good one. A couple of weight of sleeping bags you can combine in various ways to make yourself a wonderful cocoon of sleepiness, that's nice. It is, on the other hand, fairly heavy and fairly bulky for what it is. You don't get really any actual rain coming. You just get a supposedly waterproof bag that may have been stored in questionable ways to put over the rest of your sleeping bags.
Yeah.
Tents are a hassle. So what I would recommend for this is actually a hammock camping setup.
Oh, there you go.
A hammock is lightweight and can be packed down to almost nothing because, you know, make it out of some fancy modern fabric. And it's a... basically, you know, 3 microns thick or whatever. And
get it up off the ground to avoid all the creepy crawlies.
Creepy crawlies, possible, like, prowlies.
Right, yeah. Water.
Yeah,
you water know, too. Like, not flooding, but, like, you know, just, like, some...
So, yeah, a good camping hammock, a mosquito net to go over it, and a tarp to hang over all of that, and you have a wonderful camping setup. And because the tarp and mosquito net are useful in other situations, too, you've got some multitaskers.
Right. Also, you probably won't, even if you did go with the army sleep system, you'd probably want to leave some of that stuff home because this is the jungle where it's not going to be cold.
You just need the lightweight, like the bag to have something to sleep in.
Right, exactly, as opposed to like all the thick things because we're not, you know, somehow I doubt there's going to be snow in the Congo River.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but...
You probably want a mess kit, a little camping stove of some kind. I like the little alcohol-fueled ones because you can run them on vodka and...
Well, we're going to have tons of that.
Possibly you might need to distill vodka a little bit more. But you can, unless you've got like proper high-proof stuff, high-test vodka. Yeah.
Do you bring crappy vodka on your adventures?
Well, if you want to bring like an actual camp stove fuel that's, you know, like 100% alcohol.
No, you prefer that over like an Esbit tablet thingy?
Those work too. But something you can burn basically any mostly flammable liquid in is very useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can run those on rubbing alcohol. It's bad for them. You can do it.
Right.
Whereas when you're out of tablets, you're out of a stove.
So, that's fair.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the MREs do have their own little heaters, which are pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, but you might not always want to crack open an MRE to, you know, make yourself a cup of coffee in the morning.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, because you only...
If you're in the Amazon / the Congo, you're actually in the... In both cases, you're in good coffee-producing areas. So you might have decent coffee, surprisingly.
Jay's going to come home and then, you know, discover that he only brought coffee and no conflict diamonds.
Blast.
You won't be that disappointed.
Well, it sells for almost as much.
Yeah, you won't be that disappointed. Who are we trying to kid?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's important.
With conflict diamonds, I can buy more coffee.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
You'll never find it fresher that way, you know, if you pick it yourself.
Yeah. Well, so we've covered places to sleep, how to get there.
Yep.
Weapons to bring.
Yep.
What else is on your list?
Like some pathfinding-y stuff.
GPS receiver, compass.
Yeah, both of those. Like, and the GPS receiver, you want something that I can drop and not die, or if it gets a little wet, it's not going to die. And you're probably going to want one of those little, like, solar blanket dealios.
Oh, yeah, the classic Mylar.
Yeah. Thingy,
yeah.
Because batteries are a hassle, and so you need some notion of where you're going. Map is the obvious backup, though it might be old, but a map does never needs batteries.
Right. And with a compass, if you've not embarked on this journey with a seriously inadequate amount of preparation, then you should know how to read your topographical map and find out more or less where you are.
Right. Use your compass. Compass and map are the simple never break, and the GPS is a lot more convenient for marking waypoints and being updated and all those things.
Some kind of satellite phone, perhaps?
Yeah, I think a satellite phone's important. I mean, let's be honest, your wife is going to be worried about you.
Yeah.
Got to give her a call.
Hi, honey. I've almost got the conflict diamonds.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, thinking of you. It's so pretty here. The coffee's great.
It's so pretty here, except when everything's trying to kill me. I mean, like the people, the wildlife, the plants, the river.
The river. Wrestled an alligator today. It wasn't fun.
Yeah.
He tried to eat me. Love ya, Jay.
Don't forget to mow the lawn. See you when I get back.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's it's all pretty important.
Yeah.
But yeah, the satellite phone's a good idea. I think also that, you know, especially with all of your land butlers, you might want some like two-way radio type things.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like those. Yeah, I feel those just couldn't possibly hurt, right? I mean, if you don't use them, they're small, not a lot of weight. The boat will hold it, but everybody's always, you know, splitting up, and what do you see from the top of that cairn? And
yeah. I say, well, if you go up there and see what you see, eh?
Right, exactly. And then you can radio to, you know, binoculars are probably something that, like, nothing huge, but, like, something that, you know, you can...
Good, solid binoculars, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a rangefinder, just for fun.
Well, you know, you can get that in the binoculars for not that much more money.
I'd kind of like to bring night vision and thermals, but at the same time, those are both expensive, unless you settle for old night vision, which I think is probably acceptable in this case, given the diamond miners aren't going to have much of their own.
That's fair. I mean, I'm going PBS 14 too, but, you know, that's me.
Yeah. Well, I got to be able to afford this stuff before I bring the conflict diamonds back, right?
Right, yeah. I guess.
I mean, the loan shark that I equipped myself with, he's got limits. I mean, I already bought a 100-foot trawler.
Well, you have to get a different guy for your night vision stuff. Duh.
I don't really want to go into hawk to two separate loan sharks. That seems like a bad idea.
No, you tell them to, like, you know, take a number if they have a problem.
So then they work together. We've got like
I don't know about that. If they, you know, they bump each other off, you know, if one of them kills the other one, then you can pay him all of it as opposed to 50%.
Yeah. You end up with like Jay Slater Adventure 2, the John Wick one.
And you say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, kind of is, isn't it? It's a good movie, but it's not a great situation.
I mean, okay, well, you know, just like, you know, be careful with your dog, all right, bro?
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so yeah, so now I think night vision's a good guy. I'm a big fan of some night vision. The one thing would be that, like, some of the older stuff is really going to be less useful in, like, moving in closer. I mean, it's already, I think, going to be problematic in kind of rough terrain, like say a jungle.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think that's a bad thing to have.
No, not so much. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
And then obviously flashlights. Duh.
You're going to want flashlights.
Yeah.
Of all kinds. Nice LED ones.
Yeah.
Some of them. Well, some of them weapon mounted, some of them like capable to weapons.
Yep. Yeah. Check. I mean, I've already got a bunch of that stuff.
Well, so, get yourself like the, you know, the flashlight holders for your.
Yeah. See, yeah, they're usually, well, if you did it right, you could probably do, this is one of the few things that I think actually has a lot of benefit for like a QD mount. Right, because on my carbine I can, you know, QD a flashlight to it, and then I can also, and it's gonna be a little awkward to hold my hand, but you'll make it work, and then you just pop it on and off. So I think that's kind of nice, actually.
Yeah.
You know, in that little pocket flash, but no, flashlights are important. Maybe some flares.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think those are good marking things.
Yeah, well, you know, various signaling devices.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
At least you got your flashlights for, you know, more signaling back and forth.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so yeah, flares are, I guess, not, well, maybe you don't need them.
Well, the boat is really handy for just, well, I'd like to have these with me. I may not need them time I leave.
But yeah. The boat will carry them.
Yeah.
You know, just don't like set your MREs on fire or something.
Not carrying 200 tons of Atlantic tuna. So I can,
you can carry
a lot of crap,
like a box of flares or something.
Yeah.
Plus, flares are cheap. Your loan shark won't object too much.
Probably carrying a couple, like 100-some tons of, you know, ballast to replace the 200 tons of tuna. But,
right. Crab.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but buy a decommissioned crab. But they run those pretty hard.
Yeah, but, you know, think of the savings.
Yeah.
You just have to, you know, well, I mean, and you're taking it down someplace warm, and you can rip off half the crap on it.
All the crabbing stuff. You want to keep cranes, though. Right. I guess that's not a bad reason to get something that fishes with pots, because then you have a handy dandy thing that's already used to, you know, lifting a couple thousand pounds.
Right, you just might have to, like, fix the hydros.
Well, you fix the hydros and put, like, a, you know, the more traditional hook on it, and then...
Yeah, but that's cheap.
Relatively speaking, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, you could even go up to, like, Alaska and salvage a crab boat and then, you know, do some refitting. Oh, come on, don't look at me like that. You would love a fixer-upper trawler boat for adventuring purposes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, like, thinking about was it a mortgage on a boat?
Who cares? It's got salvage rights.
It's got mort in it, so.
Yeah, sure, but, you know, it's...
Yeah, but how many crab boats in good condition are you going to be able to find that you can salvage, you know, with salvage rights for less than just buying a used one?
I don't know about that. I mean, you know, yeah. You'll have to, but if you salvage it, you'll get to rebuild that giant diesel engine.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And see?
Have to get some of those, like, you know, 1-inch drive sockets.
Oh no, not 1-inch drive sockets.
Well, like the big 2¾-inch like battering ram style impact wrench you can find.
Oh, yeah.
Like the picture of that on Wikipedia. That's a good one.
That's important. The giant. No, see, you'll have fun. You'll have fun salvaging the boat.
Yeah.
And you sandblast it and you paint it another color and name it something. I don't know. What would you name your boat?
I don't actually know. I don't have a good sense for what I would name a boat.
Well, I suppose once you have one, you know.
That'd be something out. That's the time to figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, when you're looking at the boat saying, this boat looks like a...
It needs a name. What am I going to call this boat?
Exactly. Very important.
You something know? Adventury.
Right.
Plucky and adventury.
Right, yeah. We'll save the risque names for my boat.
Of course. I think that more or less covers it, right?
Yeah, let's make sure. So we've got camo, food, water, transport... Fighting Nazis, the actual Nazis, not just people we disagree with, because those would be communists. But we can fight them too. And we've talked like some basic like governance. Oh, you know what I think might be important? Let's cover a couple other things. So obviously, like, this is cheap, but we're gonna need some digging stuff probably.
Well, I think what you want to buy there is a proper shovel. Don't settle for an entrenching tool, because those don't work.
No, right. So the entrenching tools suck. And again, the digging stuff is something that you can put on your boat or your Toyota Land Cruiser or whatever.
You've got a roof rack.
Exactly.
Or a bed.
Right, whatever. You just hang on to this thing, but you'll come somewhere and you'll want to dig.
But yeah, a spade with a 5-foot handle. That's what you want.
Exactly. That is just what you want. That is perfect. And yeah, so I think that's... And then, I don't know. You've already, like, really, really basically decided that you're going to buy, like, Gen 1 surplus Russian NVG. So I don't think I can sell you on ground-penetrating radar, but that would be super cool.
Well, I'm not really searching for things underground, is the thing.
That's fine. You might need a sifter, though, for the diamonds.
That's true, yeah.
Like one of those...
But yeah, the ground-penetrating radar, that's kind of more your...
Okay, yeah, so I might have to, like, I don't know, acquire that creatively. from like some guy named Vinny who
fell off the back of a truck. Okay,
right? Yeah, perfect, yeah. Perfect, Vinny. It's great. It's great. Yeah, I'll bring it back in like at least three pieces. Right?
Hey, that wasn't the deal.
Well, you have all of those pieces, Vinny.
Do I look like I know how to put back together my ground penetrating radar?
No,
I don't.
But I know just the guy. He rebuilds diesel engines for fun. Also, don't forget our Toyota Land Cruiser should have a winch.
Yes.
Winch is like so very critical. And let's see, is there anything else I'm thinking of? I feel like there's something. Actually, you know, I think I'm coming around to that helicopter thing.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I feel like that one of the ways you might want to get something out of a jungle is to sling load it.
Right, yeah, and that's a very useful.
Even if I'm not landing the helicopter, get a little Huey, drop like a line from it, hook the like giant idol, and then hold on to the side and get hoisted up all adventure-like and dangerous.
No, if you're if your trawler doesn't have, or your crab boat doesn't have a bunch of pots on deck, you've got a big-ish area. You can probably fit a helicopter on if you've got a good enough pilot.
Right.
That's just something you got to hire, right?
Yeah, sure.
Can you land this, I don't know, 50-foot long helicopter on a 75-foot boat?
Yeah.
Most likely.
Right, exactly. Well, and the other thing, too, is there's not going to be a lot of storms in that region, right?
Well, there will be, but you can wait them out. And it's not like it's not going to be landing on a 75 boat in a 25-foot swell.
Right, yeah. It'll be like in a rear, there'll be rain, bad visibility, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, you might wave him off for a bit, but he can always come back and he'll be able to land. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like the sling load's a useful thing there. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? All right, so let's see. So can you think of anything else you're missing?
Well, let's see. So we've talked about transportation, accommodation, backpacks, and various electronic gadgets.
Yep.
Guns, of course.
Yep.
Rations, water.
Yep.
That more or less covers it, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we've got some stuff to get our things out. So you got your shovel and your sieving pan.
I wasn't planning on like mining for conflict damage. I was planning on just killing the people who have them and taking them.
Ah, there you go. All right. You still might want that sieving pan. But I suppose it could be
handy, yeah. But
it's covered, dude.
they say it's always better to mine the miners. I'm taking that to heart.
Exactly. Yeah. So the shovel though shovel's definitely good and cheap and easy to, you know, carry if you need to, like, if somebody buried something or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. All right. So I think that covers it. So we're off on a, you know, crazy adventure. Oh, wait. We need hats.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
If Indiana Jones has taught me anything, it's that we need some hats.
Well, let's see. The pith helmet is, of course, a classic choice. But I think for me, I'd probably end up with a kind of the Australian slouch hat sort of thing. Okay. With the sides you can pin up.
All right.
So that gives you both protection from sun and adequate ventilation on the pinned up side or sides. And I think they look kind of cool.
So. All right. Yeah. Yeah. It's also got that old-timey vibe to it.
Yeah. That old-timey vibe with a little bit more practicality than most old-timey hats.
Yeah. It's actually a good hat. I'm probably just going to go operator ball cap.
Yeah, the classic.
Velcro patches. Yeah. Well, I'm blackwatering this up. So, you know, we're going to blackwater up right.
At the last pistol match I went to, I was wearing a hat, as I have at the two matches I've been to so far this year. And, there was one stage that required me to start with my nose up against a wall, and I had to turn the hat around. And I said to the guy who was on the stage, "You're ruining the mojo. That's what's different between the last year and this year. It's the hat. The hat is the magic." And it turned out to be wrong. I still shot it fairly well, but ball caps. There was a ball cap, and the ball cap is clearly making me shoot better, whether on forward or backward.
Exactly right. Well, because if it's forward, you know, you got that like professional look. If it's backward, you got that, I don't know,
devil may care
kind of. Exactly. Yeah. Rakish, a little bit roguish. It's the rally cap kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
A little bit of red, not quite inside out yet, but like little rally, not we really, really need a rally.
Yeah.
You know. So I think hats are important.
Yeah, that
Yeah, now, aside, now
that,
I think
we're that ready. I think about covers it, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we've got some exciting news coming up this weekend, most likely, regarding our Patreon launch.
Yes, that's right.
I won't spoil the details of that, in part because we haven't completely hammered them out, and in part because I want to, you know, wait and make it a one-day kind of thing. But yeah, watch the soapbox this weekend for information on that.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, if you like the way we babble, you can even support it.
That's right.
I know.
Wow, liking the way we babble.
Yeah. I don't know how many people there actually are who like the way we babble, but at least we'll give them the option.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can like us if you want to.
Yeah.
We guess.
Well, I forgot to bring up the script for the outro, so it's going to be a little touch and go here. But I think I can get through it.
Yeah, you can wing it, dude.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the springtime, April, May, March, springtime edition of the Crossbox Podcast. You know, we're your hosts. I'm Jay Slater. I've got John Brimlow here.
Yep.
So we are. We thank you for your listening, and we'd like to note that our theme music is Royal Rumble by Jay Mann of ourmusicbox.com, used under the terms of the Creative Commons Attribution License. You can keep up with us, the Crossbox contributors, between shows at soapbox.manywords.press. Thank you for listening. It's come to my attention that we are recording this on May Day, so in celebration of that, I'm going to put this pirated recording of the Internationale at the end of this episode. Screw you, commies.
Brothers, sisters, for the strife.